JFM's Last Word on Tech with Matt Cooper and Volkswagen. Introducing the ID3, the next word in electric vehicles.
It's time now for Tech Tuesday. Andy O'Donoghue is with us, and we'll also be joined in a moment by the Fine Gael TD Jennifer Carol McNeil, who is complaining about the behaviour of certain Sinn Féin activists on social media platforms such as Twitter. Just before we get to that, though, Andy, I want to ask you about the COVID-19 tracker app and the problems that some people have been experiencing with it. What are they?
It was significant battery drain, Matt. That was the problem. And it was applied to Android phones specifically. So people who used the app on iOS weren't experiencing this. But I did notice myself over the weekend, my phone was draining surprisingly quickly and running out of charge in a day, which is unusual for me. And sure enough, there was a problem with the app. And essentially, it was drawing too much power while the phone was in sleep mode. And so Google raced to a fix, which they pushed out, I think, on Sunday night. And the problem does appear to have been resolved.
OK, how well is this app working in Ireland now? Because there was such a big hoopla about it when the HSE released it. How many people actually have it downloaded on their phones? And do we know how many people are actually using it?
Well, it's almost at 1.6 million downloads. So globally, Ireland has succeeded where very few countries have managed to. I think Germany have about 20% of the population have downloaded their app. So Ireland and Germany are being held up as, first of all, the governments in both countries adopted absolutely the right strategy in the decentralized model, the Apple-Google solution, rather than other countries who pushed out these centralized apps, and many of them have since been abandoned. We know for anyone who uses the COVID tracker app, when you check in daily, you can see how many people have also checked in. And at the moment, when I check in the evening, it's about 260 or 70,000. So people are checking in and using their symptoms. But the most important thing, Matt, is that you don't have to check in. Just by running the app, by downloading it and using it, you are playing your part in being part of the contact tracing solution.
Okay, I want to talk to you in a little while about Facebook Financial. But before we do that, and just before I go to Jennifer Carol McNeil of Fine Gael, tell us about the problem that social media sites such as Twitter are having with anonymous accounts being used to abuse people.
Well, this is not, sadly, a new phenomenon. I mean, the first trolls probably emerged in the early 90s with bulletin boards, which were sort of like, you know, social media of its day, where people would just use text and communicate. Sadly, though, I mean, it's reached really, you know, it's almost epidemic proportions, particularly on Twitter, Matt. And over the last couple of years, many users, particularly well-known celebrities, sadly many journalists and many women have been harassed by people who use anonymous accounts mostly. And so harassment is one thing. Then we've also had significant cases relating to libel online. And it is a problem that doesn't seem to be going away. And it's probably one that needs even more legislation than we have, although successful prosecutions have been brought in this country for this sort of activity.
Jennifer Carol McNeil of Fine Gael, you've issued a statement today suggesting that Sinn Féin trolls need to be disciplined by Mary Lou MacDonald. What are you on about?
Well, the context is a story in the Irish Times where a Sinn Féin member has resigned from the party, the report says, precisely for setting up fake accounts and abusing people and abusing a businessman who took it in his own hands, I understand, to go and investigate it. But that's just a report, and I think it's important that Mary Lou MacDonald, you know, make a statement and clarify exactly what happened and what Sinn Féin's role was in that. But I also think it's important that, you know, all of the political leaders, perhaps at the beginning of the next term, make a mark and just say, look, there are enthusiasts in every party who get overexcited from time to time. There's no doubt about that. But there's no place for this in our politics. And we are going to actively do everything to ensure that people associated, you know, members, people who are representatives of the party, are always, always using their own names, have no additional accounts, and speak in a way that's respectful on social media. Because it is damaging our discourse. It is damaging our political discourse. And, you know, we're all the recipient of it. You can see it on Twitter. The only thing, I suppose, about Twitter is that it's I think it's less reflective of real life than, you know, than people think. You know, there's a lot of people there with who have already strong views or already, you know, politically aligned views sometimes. It certainly isn't what people say on the doors. It certainly isn't what people say in you know, or might say in the pub. But on Twitter, where there's a bit of distance, and particularly where you have anonymized accounts, it can get extremely cruel extremely quickly. And it's all day, every day.
Yeah, this guy, Paul Heffernan, a Sinn Féin member in Wexford, he said some dreadful things or wrote some dreadful things under the pseudonym of P. O'Neill. He has been caught. He's gone. There's no evidence, though, is there, to suggest that there are others orchestrated by Sinn Féin, these so-called Shinner bots who are supposed to be administering punishment tweeting.
It's yeah, and all of those phrases are interesting in themselves, aren't they? You know, and I just there has been a number of reports by Colin Keane in particular in the Irish Times doing some investigative work in behind this. But you know, and journalists will continue to do that. But I think what's clearer and simpler, and certainly in my capacity as a public representative, is just call on the parties to set out exactly what they do. Just clear this up. You know, I know in Fine Gael that, you know, we certainly don't have anything like that. You know, it's easy.
How
for
do you
them
know?
To,
I mean, isn't that the danger? Isn't there the danger that you could be hoisted by your own petard here? That
yeah,
you could
is, yeah.
find that every party has elements who are trying to manipulate social media under the cover of anonymity.
Yeah, well, I can say that Fine Gael doesn't engage in that. I'm the vice chair of the parliamentary party, and if I were to ever find out that that was the case, I would be taking action in relation to it. I certainly know how my social media is managed. It's managed by me and the person who works for me, and I know what the content and the tone of that is like all the time. We never get into arguments. We never get into fights. There's nothing to be gained by any of that. You know, we're living in a prosperous democracy that has worked for a long time, but part of the reason for that is because of the way that we've handled it and managed it. There's real damage that can be done to all of our politics by engaging in this. It's off-putting for politicians, and you might go, you know, that doesn't matter, who cares, it doesn't matter who the politicians are, but it sort of does matter because you see it how it has become so important in the United States and other places where you've had, you know, strong, solid democracies being undermined and dismantled by how political discourse has damaged the function and of the democracy by polarising positions. And it's just, you know, you can't have political positions in 140 characters or whatever number of characters it is now. You know, things are more complex, more nuanced. But and so Twitter is never going to be a satisfactory medium for explaining political activity. But it's just becoming a vehicle for just throwing abuse. And, you know, just living it... And again, people mightn't care, politicians, sure, what does it matter? But when you're living it in real life, it starts in the morning and it's there all the time until you go to bed. And you might say, well, don't check it or don't look at it. And yeah, that's true. But then, you know, you need to keep an eye on the news. You need to keep an eye on the different issues. You have NGOs putting out things. You have, you know, news stories breaking in the media. So yeah, so just as a matter of practicality, you do need to keep an eye on it. But this sort of constant chipping away all the time, it's just not necessary. And it's not improving anything for anybody.
Okay, the mute button is a wonderful thing, though, because particularly as the trolls don't even realise that you're not reading or seeing what they've actually posted. I want to go back to you on this one, though, Andy O'Donoghue, because I am interested. This anonymous account run by Paul Heffernan wrote to Derek Webb, and I'm going to say this one advisedly. Some people might be offended by the quote I'm going to read, but I think it does put things in context. He asked him, are you that fat pig that cycles around Gorey in the lycra with your man tits hanging out? Another one called him a fat sloth lookalike clown. And in another tweet, he was asked, did special school bring you up to Dublin for the day? Now, Derek Webb managed to track down Heffernan by actually deduction, and fair play to him for actually doing so. But what about the responsibility of Twitter to actually find out the people who are doing things like this and in some way take action against them, Andy?
That's a great point, Matt. And it's something that hasn't really got to the stage that we'd like it to be at. Generally, both in Ireland, in Europe and in the US, when the social media companies are approached, they tend to delay in providing any information about the account that tweeted or posted a specific thing. The information that they would have would be the IP address, so sort of the electronic air code of the posting computer, and the email address used to log in. So they don't have to provide that information. information, and they have been subpoenaed and court orders have been issued in a number of cases. What I would say, though, is that first of all, you can do an amount of your own deduction if you want. So, you know, for instance, if an account is new, so if there's a registration date of a month or a day ago, you're probably dealing with somebody who is trolling on a specific matter or issue. So that may be a local person, say in the case of if it's a politician or a businessman. But then also, you know, who do they follow and who follows them? And you can make your deductions about who it might be. I would say for anyone, and I'm not encouraging people in trying to sort of use a fly trap for trolls, but having a blog is a wonderful trap for trolls because they can't resist themselves in posting inane nonsense on it. And then you will have their IP address. And once you control that data in a responsible way, you can always provide it to the guards if you ever need to.
Yeah, but Andy, the responsibility of Twitter, as I said there to Jennifer, you know, I've used the block key occasionally. More often, I've used the mute button to stop people who are abusive in comments that they actually make. But on one occasion, I had to get onto Twitter to make a complaint about a particularly objectionable comment that was made, an allegation made against me. And all I got back from Twitter was, "We're very busy. We'll try and deal with it when we can." And I still haven't heard back from them.
I think part of it as well, Matt, is that, yes, I'm sure they're very busy and dealing with, amongst other things, this kind of issue, and Facebook as well. However, social media companies are very careful to say that they're not the arbiters of truth. And we've seen that Twitter will accept, but that's their response.
Well, Jennifer, if we broadcast something on this station, we're responsible for what goes out in the programme. If a newspaper publishes something, it's responsible for it. Why are these social media platforms not responsible? Is this not a case for the need for legislation to make them responsible for what people post?
Well, I certainly think the legislation needs to be...
Oh, it seems we have lost Jennifer at an inappropriate time when we were talking about legislation against social media companies. OK, we're running out of time anyway. So very briefly, Andy O'Donoghue, will you finish out by telling me about Facebook Financial, please?
Facebook Financial is the part of Facebook that's going to run sort of their payment and financial products. It was announced last year, Facebook Pay. It's this idea where you can pay friends using Facebook, you know, and you can split a bill or send money to a friend. But over the coming weeks, Matt, apparently there's a big new initiative, and this is becoming a serious business for them, where they're going to move the payment facilities into WhatsApp and Messenger and Instagram. So this will allow you to do things, say you're in a WhatsApp group, you're at dinner with friends, you can split the bill and send, you know, you and I can split the bill, send the cash to each other. But in the case of browsing on Instagram, you see a pair of sneakers that you like, it looks like you're just going to be able to press the big pay button and Facebook will process the transaction for you. So it's a new business for Facebook, and it's squarely to try and sort of capture some of that youth market that companies like Revolut have been chasing down.
Andy O'Donoghue, thank you very much. Jennifer Carol McNeil was with us from Fine Gael. Unfortunately, the line went down when we were asking her about legislation for social media companies' responsibility for what they publish.
Today FM's Last Word on Tech with Matt Cooper and Volkswagen. Introducing the ID3, the next word in electric vehicles.